not formally. Hello and welcome to this Ask Simon teleseminar. Thank you very much for listening in live over the internet, and we have some people who are going to be listening to this recording. We've had a lot of people email questions in before the event, and obviously those who are listening over the internet have the opportunity to ask questions live. I encourage them to type in questions now so that we get an opportunity to answer as many of them as possible rather than leaving it to the last minute, because we have a lot of people on the call, so the sooner you put the question in, the more likely I'll be able to get around to it and answer it. So I'm going to dive straight in and look at some of the questions that we've been asked in advance and give you some of the answers I think will help you. So first question from Anne is, how would you attempt to get on the property ladder in 2009 if you do not have a deposit and you'd like to buy your own property to live in? Well, I bought my very first property back in 1995 and I didn't have a deposit at the time. I got a first time buyer mortgage. It was a 95% mortgage at the time. I just started work at Cadbury, so I was able to prove a good income, but I had to borrow the deposit. So what I would suggest, Anne, is first of all, you need to work out what kind of mortgage can you afford to make. You've got to, affordability is very, very important. And when I got my first house, I could afford the mortgage because it was based on my income. But what I did, I actually rented out two of the rooms to my friends who were still studying at university, and that actually pretty much paid the mortgage. So I was living for free. So that worked incredibly well for me. Now, it depends on your personal circumstance, and if you're married or you're living with a partner, you know, having other people living in the house might not be suitable. But at the time, I was certainly single and living with other people. I quite liked it because I'd been a student and I liked the company. So I always suggest to people who are trying to get onto the ladder, if you can buy something a little bit bigger than you need and get other people in to help cover some of the costs, that's probably a very good start. So that's the first thing. Secondly, if you haven't got a deposit, well, you can. Someone else actually asked the question. Let me see if I can find out who it was. It was Johan asked a question. He said, "Can I do B&B purchase with a residential mortgage? And does it depend on all on one lender, or is it purely a system that I should use?" So yes, you can. You can find a property below market value. You can use the mechanism that we use to purchase no money down, but you can get a residential mortgage, absolutely. So all you need is the right power team, the right solicitors who understand how to do these deals correctly, and that is very, very important. You would apply for your mortgage as normal, and if you're a first-time buyer, it might be 80, 85, or even 90% mortgage if you have enough income. So you generally put in your 15, 20, or 10% deposit. That could be someone else's money, could be borrowed money, it could be money you saved, or if you don't have any access to money at all, maybe you've been able to negotiate a discount from a motivated seller, and if you structure it, package it up in the right way, as we teach people on our B&B Quick Start seminars, you don't need to put a deposit in. So absolutely it is possible to buy properties right now. One of the other things is you might be able to find an investor who could package a deal up for you. One of the things that we're starting to do for first-time buyers is we are finding sellers who really need to sell the property, prepared to sell at a bit of a discount, and what we're actually doing is we're taking some of that discount and using that as a deposit for the first-time buyer who might only need to put 10% in normally, or maybe 15%. So we're effectively putting the deposit in for them. They're getting a 15, 20% gifted deposit, if you like. We're buying the property at a less price than that, so we're making a margin of about 5% on each deal. So again, it's all about knowing these strategies and knowing how you can apply them. Let me ask you a question. How would you like to be able to help a seller to sell their property, to get a first-time buyer into a property with none of their own money and walk out of the deal with about 5%? Would you be interested in that? Well, if you are, you can do it. You've just got to apply the knowledge and learn how to do that. Okay? So as the market changes and as the environment changes, you've got to stay at forefront of these cutting-edge strategies to learn how to do it. And if you're just starting off, you need to get with other successful investors, people who've done it, who are doing it right now, and can teach you how to do it. Okay? A great way to learn from other people is get to the networking events and speak to as many people as you can, find out what they're doing. And generally, I've found, certainly the property investor network meetings, we encourage everyone to be very open and share what they're doing. You know, in many industries, people don't want to tell you what they're doing because, you know, they're closely guarded secrets and they consider other people competitors. Well, Frankly, yeah, I suppose in a way other investors could be seen as competitors, but unless you're buying in exactly the same area as me, exactly the type of property as me, you're not a competitor to me. You know, there's a massive market. There are so many motivated sellers out there. All you've got to do is know how to do it, get out there and actually take action. Just having the knowledge is not sufficient. I mean, a lot of people, they go to network meetings, they go to seminars, they've done all the seminars from every single trainer out there, but they still haven't bought any property. And unfortunately, they use all these excuses of why they haven't done it. And actually, it's just because they've probably got fear, they don't have certainty. And sometimes you have to take a little bit of a leap of faith to be able to get out there and do it. So next question was from Prima, and a couple of you asked a similar question. Prima said, should I wait until the last quarter of this year to invest or early next year as I'm unsure if the property market has bottomed out or not yet? Prima, I have no idea whether the property market has bottomed out or not either, so I don't know. Certainly, in many areas, the market has definitely gone up. Estate agents are running out of stock. Mortgage applications are on the increase, so in certain areas it's definitely going up. Does that mean we've hit the bottom and moving up? I don't know. Maybe it's a bear rally. What that means is when the prices come down, they suddenly shoot up a little bit before they go down further. A lot of people think doom and gloom, prices are going to come down much further. Personally, I can't see that. I think if we haven't quite reached the bottom, we're not far from it, and maybe this is a bear rally, maybe we're going up. Remember, when people talk about the market, they're talking about averages, and there are so many little sub-markets that, you know, some areas are going up. I know there are one or two places where prices right now are higher than they were in 2007, October, pretty much at the peak. So, you know, it really does depend on the local market. But here's the really important point that I want you to get, Prima. I want everyone else to get this. When you buy the property, what you want to do is buy it based on the figures today, okay? We all invest in property because we believe in the long term property prices are going to go up. But what if they never go up again? What if property prices never go up again? So if you think that that's a possibility, you probably wouldn't be investing in property. I understand that. But if you invest as if prices were never going to go again, that makes you buy only the good deals that give you good cash flow right now. And it's what I call one of the five golden rules. You want to buy properties that give you cash flow right now. In a rising market where prices are shooting up, yeah, sometimes people buy for the capital growth and they don't mind if a property just breaks even or even makes a little, they have to make a little subsidy each month because they look at it as a saving plan because they know they're going to get such good growth. And, you know, I believe long term in prices in the UK, you know, probably 10, 12 years from now, I expect prices will double again because we have an island, limited supply. And I know sometimes people think, well, prices are expensive now, even though they come down. They say, prices are expensive now. How on earth could they double in 10 years, 12 years? Well, I had property 14 years ago I first started, and when I was buying then, you know, if I thought prices would double, you know, there's no way prices would double that much in that amount of time. Some of my houses, they've doubled, and they've doubled again in that time period. You know, now some of them have come down a little bit now. In fact, I've got one or two properties that are in negative equity, but it doesn't matter. And here's the point. If you buy a property and it works today, it gives you cash flow today, it doesn't matter if it comes down further, if you haven't quite reached the bottom of the market. As long as, and write this down, as long as the property stacks up and makes you cash flow, and it's in an area where if the current tenants move out, you're easily going to be able to replace it with other tenants. Okay, so you've got to have a good rental demand, and it's got to give you good cash flow. So that's really, really important. The other thing is you want to make sure you don't need to sell. Now, if you've got a good cash flow and it's making money, my question is, why on earth would you ever sell? But the people who get in difficulty when prices come down are people who have to sell the property. For whatever reason, they're forced to sell, and they lose money. Well, prices go up and prices come down. If you buy right, make all the right decisions, buy in a good location, good rental demand, good cash flow, it doesn't matter if prices come down because you're going to hold for the long term, and in the long term, the prices will correct. Okay? If you don't believe long term prices are going to go up, frankly, I don't know why you're listening to this call, go and invest in something else, you know, and I can't guarantee they're going to go up, but I put my money where my mouth is. I'm banking a lot on my personal future fortune that prices are going to go up. you know. And so I'm looking to hold properties long term. As the values go up and as the rents go up, I'm going to refinance. But I don't know. There's no certainty, you know. There are two big risks to property. One is interest rates, because I believe when the economy starts to recover, and that may not be till next year or maybe even 2011, I don't know, but when it does start to recover, I think interest rates are going to go up, and that is going to be a risk. Now, obviously, there will come a point where you probably want to fix your interest rates to have a bit more certainty. So I think that's something you should look at doing, certainly in the near future. The longer you can fix, the better. If you fix now, you're paying more than a variable rate now, and it might be a couple of years before rates go up, so you might be paying more for a few years. But once rates go up, you know, you might be quite pleased to have fixed in the rate that you fixed into. So again, that comes down to personal preference, but that is one of the risks. The other risks, and this is quite a serious risk, this. The other risk is this. Maybe there could be an issue. There could be a problem, such as a worldwide or European-wide pandemic. You know, swine flu might go out of control, and what it means is everywhere we've got people unfortunately dying, and, you know, the population decreases by 50%. Well, if we have a 50% decrease in population, population, it's going to be very hard for you to rent out your property. Prices will crash down, you know, and it's going to be a real issue. And, you know, some people might say, well, that's not going to happen. Well, you never know. I doubt it's going to happen, but it might well happen. But here's the point. If 50% of the population die from some epidemic, your property is going to be last through problem, because there's a 50% chance you're not going to be here either. So, you know, you can hypothesize about all these potential problems and risks. You know what? If you focus on all the risks, if you focus on the problems, that's what you get. I'm not saying you would create a pandemic where 50% of the population die, but on a smaller scale, your environment, your world is what you make it. And if you're constantly focusing on the problems and why things won't work, guess what? You're going to prove yourself right all the time, and things won't work for you. The people who are successful, they work out what they want, they focus on that, they take action on that, they get the results, and they reinforce their beliefs. So whether you believe you can or whether you believe you can't, you are absolutely right. So one thing, if you want to be a successful investor, you need to check your mindset. You need to check, what are your beliefs? Are your beliefs really supporting you and going to help you move forward and encouraging you, or are they actually hindering you and going to make it very difficult for you to achieve what you want to achieve in the future? So very important for you to sense check and check in with what you really believe your situation is. Okay? Kevin from Brighton says, he's got lots of different questions. One is quite a short one I just want to answer, because it's one that was asked tonight on the line. He says, buying strategy, can you foresee any problems created by buying with cash then remortgaging? Yes, I know a number of people who've bought properties with cash, or they put a large amount of cash into a property with the idea of refinancing, and then something happens to them. Their credit score isn't so good, so they can't actually get a mortgage. The lender who is going to do a further advance to them decides they're not going to do further advances. So there is a risk to buying property with cash, putting cash in, and then looking to refinance it later on. There is a bit of a risk with that, so you do need to be careful. And, you know, especially if you're borrowing someone else's money. I've got some bridging funds I've lent out to people, and they've been for those exact things. They bought properties at a good price, you know, been careful, given money to. They've had work done, and they've had difficulty with mortgages, surveys, and cash has been tied up in properties. So that is a bit of a risk. A way to get around that is if you're using some of the creative strategies we use to buy no money down, your money is not tied up in the property. Likewise, if you use vendor finance, which is another way of buying, where the vendor basically puts the deposit in for you and you give it to them at some point in the future, or you pay interest on it, it means, again, none of your own money is tied up. And also options. Options are a great way of controlling property without you even having to get a mortgage. Now, options is one of these things, a real buzzword. Lots of people are starting to talk about them now, and they are becoming more popular, and I think they will become more popular over the next few years as the general public get to know about them. Most people in the general public, or even solicitors and estate agents, don't understand what options are. So if you're going to try to use these things, you need to educate yourself so you can actually explain to people very clearly what they are and how they work. But options is another way of controlling a property without you having to get finance, and it makes it very much easier for you to do. Okay. Great question online from Arif in London saying, where can you find genuine B&B properties? Too many punters trying to flog these at the moment. I think what he's suggesting, lots of companies trying to sell B&B deals that aren't really genuine discounts. Part of the problem when you're buying a property below market value is people would argue, well, a property's worth what someone's prepared to pay for it. Now, in a market where the market is slow, they would say, well, okay, so something's worth 100,000, there's a slow demand. If someone was prepared to wait a long time, they might get someone who'll buy it for 100 or 95 or maybe even 90. Whereas what we look to do, obviously, is buy something for 70, maybe that's worth 100. And sometimes surveyors come along and they'll find out how much you're paying for it and say, well, you're paying 70, well, it's worth 70 because that's what you're paying for it. And they don't quite get the fact that it should be the average, it's comparables it's all based on. So from that point of view, I think you find that surveys can be a bit difficult. And one of the things that we're doing increasingly is when we're looking to find deals and when we package them and pass them on to other people, we want to get an independent RICS valuation beforehand, which means we're having to spend some money on it. But at least it means that we have a much better idea of what this property is actually worth. If someone goes into the independent valuation, you want to ideally make sure they don't find the property on Rightmove because that may influence what value they give to it. And they don't want to ask the seller what's it being sold for, because if the seller says what it's being sold for, that will influence what they value it as well. So one of the key things is to making sure you get a genuine market valuation. And, you know, if you're looking to buy a deal and you spend lots of time and effort on legals and things like that, it might be worth, if no one else has got a valuation on it and you think it looks like a deal, you spending the couple of £100 to get an independent survey, first of all, and that's going to give you a much better idea of what the true discount is. The other thing you've got to bear in mind, I mean, people get very hung up about discounts and they want certain levels of discount. I see people that buy properties at like 30, 35% discount, but the rent doesn't stack up. So it's not just the size of the discount. It's a whole formula you need to look at. You know, yes, you want the right purchase price. You want a good rental demand. You want a good cash flow. These are some of the things I mentioned earlier. You know, all of the factors have to work for you to buy a property. The fact is that there aren't many people buying property right now. It is tricky. It can be difficult to get mortgages, etc. There are lots of people who do want to sell. There are more people coming into the market to buy, you know, first-time buyers coming in, amateur investors coming in, a lot of the deals at estate agents getting snapped up, and even at auctions as well. But if you're dealing with a true motivated seller who you found through your own marketing, you're not going to have the competition with other people. So it's all about finding what they want, giving them an ethical solution if you can, you know, what's important to them, and explaining the way you finance things, getting around to getting an independent valuation done, checking it's right. And you know what? If it all works for you now, it doesn't really matter what the value is. You know, if as long as your mortgage company are happy and you're, you know, happy to put some money into a deal, not necessarily your money, it could be someone else's you're borrowing. You know, if it all stacks up and gives you cash flow right now, great. You know, maybe you could buy it a little bit cheaper, you know, if you wait for the market to come down. But hey, what if the market's not coming down? What if it's all going up? If you don't jump in now, you're going to miss out on all the good deals. You see, Prima asked a question earlier about when's a good time to wait. And there were a couple of people asked, you know, should I wait till the bottom, the market hits the bottom? Well, the challenge is, who knows when it's going to hit the bottom? And when it does hit the bottom and everyone thinks prices are going up, everybody and his uncle is going to want to get back into property. I think there'll be first-time buyers who've missed out and they've been waiting for the bottom to hit. They think, oh, well, I want to get the cheapest possible price. And when the point comes, they're going to want to get back into the market. People think first-time buyers can't get mortgages. They can. If they've got a decent income and a reasonable credit score, they can get 80, 85, even 90% mortgages. And it's changing daily, but it's a case of education. They can get these things. You're going to have people who invested maybe early 2000s, had really good growth, seeing property come down a little bit now, looks really cheap now compared to 3-4 years ago. They buy the property because they want to get on the next ride up again. They benefited very, very well from the increase in the early 2000s. And you know what? There are also going to be lots of people who missed out on the last property boom. And for whatever reason, they didn't take action. They kicked themselves, you know, oh, I missed out. And they said, I'm not going to miss out again. And they've been waiting on the sodders. They're trying to wait to the bottom. Because these people, you know, and there might be some people on this call who this applies to. They don't really know when the best time is. And they want to, they're so paranoid about getting the absolute best price they can. And actually, you know, property is very forgiving. Even if you paid a little bit too much for property, over the long term, time is going to rectify that problem for you. As I said, the cash flow is really important. It's got to stack up. It's got to make money now. What you've got to do is just get out there and take action. One of the other questions we had was, you know, how do I go about finding deals and et cetera? You know, my tip to anyone who has not got a deal yet is I recommend the best thing for you to do is find someone who can sell you a deal. Because many people, they go out there, they take action, and they just don't get the results for whatever reason. I think it comes down to belief. You see, if you're going out there and you're speaking to motivated sellers, if you're going to estate agents, if you're advertising, whatever you're doing, you might be doing, theoretically doing the right things. But if you don't believe that someone will sell their property to you massively below market value, guess what? It's not going to happen. Because your belief will dictate the results you get. So maybe just to get belief, you need to find a deal that someone gets for you. They package it up. They do a lot of the running around. So you can just see that physically you've got a property and you didn't have to put any money in, or you had to put a very small amount of money into it. And it's got 25% equity and it's got a tenant in it. It's got a rental income. Then you'll go, you know what? This stuff really does work. And actually, it wasn't that difficult. And rather than pay someone else a fee to do it, I'm going to learn how to do it myself. And if you get good at it, you can actually make money by packaging it up for other people who don't know how to do it or don't have the time or don't have the energy or the knowledge to do it. So learning how to find these deals, doing them yourself, packaging it up, selling money is all things you should be doing, because the opportunity in the market is right now. And it is a phenomenal opportunity. I think it's going to be here for the next 6 to 9 months. When everyone starts to jump back into the market's going to go up pretty quick is my prediction, and it's going to be harder to find the motivated sellers. Now, there will always, always be people who need to sell quickly, who need to move quickly. You know, in 2006, 2007, we were buying a lot of property from motivated sellers. Now, we were buying at 15, 20% discount because the market was going up. That was all we needed at the time because we can get 85% borrowing. So 20% discount was no money down. In fact, it was cash out. Thank you very much. You know, nowadays, we can get bigger discounts. We need 28+% really to be able to make it a true no money down deal, depending on stamp duty and things, but generally 28-29% is enough to make it no money down deal. But you know what? There'll be some great deals out there where you can't get no money down. And even if you have to put some money into a deal, as long as you're getting a good cash flow, you're getting a good return on that investment, it can still be really worth putting money in. The problem is people say, yeah, but I have not got any money to put in. It doesn't have to be your money. And this is where you need to get to meet other investors who can put money into deals. You might well have money yourself, but no deals. And, you know, there might be some great people who can find you deals. So get to property networking events. Get to meet other successful investors. Speak to people. Tell them you're looking for deals. Get on forums. Buy leads on forums. You know, whatever you need to do, you've got to get your first deal so that you can actually get some good results. And when you, I mean, I bought a lot of deals. When I first started doing this, I had one guy called Tony who gave me a lot, well, sold me a lot of deals. And I had a great relationship. He passed me certain deals that were going to work for me, and I was very good at converting them. And he made a good amount of money for me, but I was really happy because I got some good deals. I got some cash outs. I got lots of no money down property, you know, and, you know, all I need is one good source. And that's what I needed. So go and meet people at network meetings. A lot of our masterminders are there finding lots of deals, and I'm encouraging them to sell them on to other people. So buying your first deal is probably a really good way to start. Dave's asked me, what book am I reading at the moment? The last book I read, which I tell absolutely everybody about, and I read it twice, was called The Slight Edge. The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson, O-L-S-O-N. It's an American book, and it's a brilliant book. It's all about the difference between successful people and unsuccessful people. And it's pretty incredible, really, in terms of it's all about successful people take action. But it's not the big, massive action you might expect. They just do something simple every day to move them forward towards their goals. Okay, something simple every single day to move them forward. The book I read before that was Liquid Millionaire, one that we put out, we recommended to our members by a guy called Stephen Sutherland. He is an investor and he invests in ISAs. The reason he recommended it was because he talks all about mindset, and he's very much into personal development as I am. So it's not just talking about FX. So that was a great book. And in fact, we put an offer out to people. They could get a free copy of it. I think some people took it up, some people didn't. And the next book on my shelf to read is by a friend of mine, a fellow speaker. So I haven't read it yet, but he's a very, very good speaker. And it's called The Impact Code by Nigel Risner. And on the front it says, live the life you deserve. And it's all about kind of designing your life to make it how you want to be. So, you know, I'm a great believer in personal development, and I think you should always be trying to learn more. Even in property, you know, I don't have all the answers, far from it. I'm learning all the time because I'm doing it all the time. I learn from a lot of my students, and you know, in the mastermind, everyone puts ideas back in. I sit back and listen, and I think, God, that's brilliant. You know, why didn't I think of that? And it's all about getting with other people and learning with other people. So reading books is a great way to get knowledge. If you don't like reading, I've got quite bad eyesight, so I'm very slow at reading. So I actually really like audiobooks as well. So audiobooks and CDs and personal development things. And rather than listening to the radio in your car, why not turn your car into a moving library? Get some personal development CDs. Listen to those. Listen to them again and again to reinforce this positive stuff in your mind. Your mindset is absolutely critical. I keep on going on about this, but I think it's probably the most important thing that you can do to directly influence your wealth. Is get around other successful people and get the right mindset from people. So I hope that helps. I've got a question from Browen in London. I've been offered a fixed rate mortgage at 5.99, fixed 5 years. I may let the flat out later, but the rate would then be 6.99. Is this a good deal? I'm borrowing 249,000 on a value of 300,000. Okay, a couple of things. First of all, it's very much up to you about what you think is going to happen to interest rates. I've had three teleseminars tonight. This is the third one, and the first two were for two of my different mastermind groups. And so, forgive me if I'm repeating something I said earlier in this call. I can't remember which call I said this in, but we were talking about interest rates. I think it was probably my last call. I believe that you know rates are very, very low now, and when the economy recovers, that might well be a year, even a year and a half. I think rates will start to go up. We might have a little half a point blip. The Bank of England might just see what happens if they do that, but I don't think we're going to see any significant increases. When rates do go up, because of all the money that's being printed around the world, I think they will go up to rates higher than we have previously seen. So fixing a mortgage, the great thing about fixing at 6%, which is typically what you get at the moment, is at least you have certainty. And if you fix for 5 years, that's going to take you into 2014. You know, I would have hoped that the market would have improved dramatically by then, prices would be well on the way up by then, and I would hope because of that maybe the banks, the lending's got much easier, maybe we can borrow back at, you know, 80, 85, or maybe even 90% again. Who knows? Maybe we won't quite get to that in the future. But I would have thought lending would be easier, and so we'd be able to remortgage your products. Often when you're on a residential mortgage, if you want to let it out to someone else, you do need to let the lender know and get their permission. They might sometimes increase the rate, sometimes they don't. You know, if you say, look, I need to sell this property, I can't sell because of the market, and you know, I don't want to get repossessed, I need to put someone into rent, as long as you let them know, often they're happy about that, and at the moment they're quite flexible. So what you have to do, Browen, is look, do your figures. Say, okay, if I was based on the rent that's achievable right now, if it was 6% or 6.99%, would I be able to cover all the costs? And if it's going to work for you, great. If it isn't, you might decide, well, I'll be a bit more risky, I'll go for a variable mortgage rate, and yes, it's going to cost you less now. 4.7% is a typical rate you can probably get right now, which is a good rate, but bear in mind that's 4.5% or 4% above the base rate. Base rate's 0.5% at the moment, so it's 4.2% above base. If base goes up to 4%, that's 8.2% you're going to be paying. That's a really high rate. So, you know, what you've got to do is what meets your personal risk criteria. I think at some point in the future, obviously rates are going to go up. If you're making great cash flow on property now, don't spend all of it. Put some of it aside. Keep it safe to cover some of the days when rates go up. That is going to be one of the risks to investors in the future, as we talked about earlier. So, you know, fixing rates might well be a good idea. So I'm going to go back to some of the questions that people asked beforehand. Simon, actually one of our masterminders asked a question who was on Mastermind 3, I think. We name all the programs, to just to distinguish between each of them which one people are on. We started our fifth program in April. The program we're starting in October is actually Mastermind 6. So Simon, who was on Mastermind 3, finished it a while ago, says, Simon, at the moment, what and where is the best strategy of sourcing BNV deals? With low interest rates, shortage of properties coming onto the market, cash investors taking out, cash investors taking money out of the bank and putting it into property hasn't meant I'm finding I find it harder at present through estate agents. Please advise. Yeah, I would absolutely agree, Simon. You know, estate agents is a great strategy to find deals. I've found some of my best deals through estate agents over the years. And certainly last October, we were teaching the estate. We teach it on Mastermind anyway, but last October at Property Magic, well, that was one of the main strategies we were teaching, because at that time, it was the very best thing to do. Nobody was buying through estate agents. If you were going into estate agents and seriously buying and proving that you could buy and actually delivering the goods, they were throwing deals at people. The problem is the market has picked up. It's got a lot busier now. There are more people in the market. Amateurs come into the market. The first place they go is to estate agents. They go to auctions as well. And people who are amateurs don't really understand about the way we buy and the kind of discounts we get. So if they buy at 5 or 10% off a price, they think that's a fantastic deal. So they're coming in and they're outbidding some of the serious investors. So I think that's, you know, important to recognize that, and it is getting harder. Having said that, I was speaking to an estate agent with a London property today. I found it on the internet the weekend. I called them this morning, and surprise, surprise, it had gone. It had only been on for about a week or two. This is in Putney, and this is a two-bedroom apartment in Putney, 1,000 square feet. So a huge apartment, first floor apartment. Originally, these apartments sold for £650,000 4 years ago. This property had been reduced to it was a repossession, £250,000. You know, an absolute bargain. Surprise, surprise, by the time I called, it had gone. Now, why was it such a good price? Well, there were some real difficulties. You know, there was no freeholder in place, and there's some challenges that need to be sorted out. You had to buy it cash, which I was prepared to do because it was such a good deal. But there are great deals out there. And I called and I spoke to the agent and explained what I do. And that deal was gone, but he told me about two other good deals I'm looking at right at the moment. So, you know, if you speak to the agent in the right way and you use the right terminology and they know what you're talking about, you know, there are some deals to be had. So, you know, but it's all about having the right attitude. If you go in there and say, I've just done a property course and I want a 30% below market value deal, they're going to look at you and laugh. You know, you've got to know how to speak to people. If you're doing estate agents, rather than going and finding the discounts, what you want to do is get the estate agent to help you find the motivated seller. I'm going to share a secret with you all right now that I think is one of the biggest secrets when buying property below market value. So you might want to write this down. In fact, make sure you've got a pen and paper. This is huge, this secret. This is a secret. Most people, most amateurs will go to an estate agent, they'll find a property they like, they'll then try and put a low offer in, trying to get a 25 or 30% discount. And the vast majority of the time, they'll get knocked back and they'll say, no, not interested, not enough money, insulting low offer. And they try this a few times, get put off, so that doesn't work, and they give up. Okay, that's what most amateur investors do. Some people are very persistent. They put lots and lots of offers. And if you put a lot of offers in, chances are you'll come across a motivated seller at some point who says, yeah, okay, I'll do that. You know, I need to move quick enough and I'll do the deal. But most people won't. So that's what amateurs do. Here's what professionals do. Professionals will find the motivated seller first. Rather than looking for the property, you find the seller first and decide if they have a property that you want to buy. So you can do that through estate. There's certain questions you can ask estate agents. We share these in some of the training programs we do that will help you identify these sellers. or you advertise for them direct. You use newspapers, you use postcards, you use leaflets, you use marketing, direct networking, word of mouth. You want to attract motivated sellers to you and then find out if the deal they have is suitable for you. That is the best way to do this. Absolutely, without a doubt. Find the seller first, then decide. If you get one thing out of this call, I think that's probably it. And that's huge. And if you go with that attitude, that is going to make a massive difference in the success rate you're going to achieve. So with that in mind, Simon, some of the things we've taught you in the mastermind, I know you've had some success with estate agents, you know, and maybe that's drying up a little bit now. Go back to the other methods we taught you. I think newspaper adverts is one of the quickest and easiest and most cost-effective ways of finding sellers. A couple of tips for you on that. Obviously, you want to make sure the advert has got a good headline. You want to make sure it's got some good bullet points that are really selling the benefits. What's the benefit for them? Not talking about you. It's all about them. You want to attract their attention. What's in it for them? You want a call to action at the end, which is call me now or whatever it might be. Use a name. Make it personal. Girl's name has better response rate than men's name. Have a local phone number. A lot of people don't like calling mobiles. A lot of people don't like calling 0800 numbers because you have to pay for them for mobiles. So have a local number. It's cheap for everyone to call, and that also shows you are a local investor. If you're buying properties in an area which you don't live, you can buy geographic numbers. So you might live in London, but you can buy a number that's an 0161 number, so it looks like you're based in Manchester. Again, it's just a case of knowing how to do these things and setting them up in the right way to make sure you're doing this professionally. There are many, many people out there who are trying to invest in property, and it's like a hobby. They're just amateurs. And frankly, you know, they might get one or two deals here and there, but they're wasting their time. And time is your most valuable asset. What you want to do is educate yourself. And, you know, I'm slightly biased because we do educate. That's what we do, and that's what we're very good at. But you can educate yourself in many different ways. You can read books. You can listen to CDs. You can meet other investors, speak to them, go to network meetings, come to seminars, go on programs. But educate yourself, because here's something I want you to write down. And I've said this before, I'm going to say it again, I keep on saying it. Rich people are different from poor people. You see, poor people will spend their time to save money. Poor people spend their time to save money. I did a BNB Quick Start seminar in London about 6 months ago, and there was a guy on that. At the end, we get them to share what they've learned and their big distinction. One guy puts his hand up and says, you know what? I've learned more in one day than I've learned on the internet over an entire year. And this guy said, you know, I thought about going on courses, but I thought, no, I can go on chat forums and I can speak to other people and pick it up. And this guy had spent a whole year, he didn't buy anything in a year, he spent a whole year spending hours and hours and hours on the internet. Now, you've got to value your time. How much is your time worth? You can come on a one-day course, get all the knowledge you need to start taking action straight away. And yes, you're going to pay for it, but how much time are you going to save? How much money are you going to save in terms of not making mistakes? How much money are you going to save when you know how to negotiate properly, when you know how to deal with a seller? So it's really important to educate yourself. Now, I'm going to take this opportunity to do a little bit of a plug. One of the questions we had from Roger, Roger, who comes to our PIN meeting, said, Simon, hi Simon, I've booked onto BNB Quick Start in a few weeks. I attended the one in March 2008, which was excellent. What different items will we be covering now? We are just updating the BNB Quick Start. So we've been doing it for a few years now, incredibly successful. People coming off that and going and buying deals, you know, literally just the information they got in one day. However, the market's changed. So what we're doing, we've got a new course. We call it the Property Investors Quick Start. It's not just about BNV. In it, we talk about options. And we've got a guy called Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson is the most successful guy in options in the UK. I don't know anybody who's done more than Mark. I think he's done about 80 options. He's a really nice guy. He's just a master. He learned from a number of people, including Rick Cotton, who is great, and Rick's coming back to the UK in October to do a seminar, and, you know, he's really, really good. But Rick is the guy who's done the most – sorry, Mark Jackson is the guy who's done the most of these in the UK, okay? And Mark is speaking at all of the Property Investor Quick Start seminars in September. He might do some in the future, but he's doing all the September ones. And so it's going to be a real treat to have an hour of his time. He's going to explain some of the things he's done, his case studies, and showing you practically how you can start doing options straight away. And then also, I'm going to teach you about how to trade property. So when you find a deal that doesn't work for you, how you can sell it onto someone else. It's got to be a good deal, obviously, but how you can sell it to someone else and make really good money doing that. You see, a lot of people, they're struggling now. They need to make cash flow. If you sell a deal onto another investor, a good deal, you can make 2-3% finder's fee. Now, most average properties in the UK, that's £2,000 to £4,000 from one deal. So if you make £2,000 to £4,000 selling on one deal, how many deals do you need to sell a month to be able to replace your income? Well, for most people, probably one. But you've got to know how to package deals up. You've got to know how to sell them on to other people. You've got to know who to sell them on to. And this is some of the stuff we cover on our new Property Investor Quick Start. Now, I'll just tell you the dates we've got coming up. We haven't got our website up for it yet. That's going to be hopefully by the end of this week. And the price to come on the Property Investor Quick Start is going to be £500, well, £497 plus VAT per person. You get lunch, you get refreshments, you get your workbook, you get an audio recording of the event, and we have a full money-back guarantee as usual. If up to halfway through you don't think it's the best thing you've ever done, just give us the materials back and you get a full refund. No questions asked, you know. Out of all the years I've been doing seminars, no one's ever asked their money back because the value we give is just so much higher than the investment people make. But anyway, let me tell you about the dates. So we've got four coming up, and we're doing this because we launched my book recently, Property Magic, the 2009 updated edition. It's very similar to the first edition, but we've redone chapter two about how to buy deals right now. We've updated it with some of the examples, put the more realistic loan to values in, and put a new chapter in about understanding the market as well. If you haven't got that, you might want to go to our website and buy it. There are lots of bonuses if you buy it. It's only £10, or you can just go and buy it on Amazon when you don't get the bonuses, obviously. It's a great read, nice and short and simple book. But because of that, a lot of people have read that and want to come on to the BNV Quick Start seminars. So this is what we've done. We've got four dates. We've got Saturday, the 12th of September in London. We have another London date, which is Sunday, the 27th of September. So in London, on Saturday, the 12th of September, and Sunday, the 27th of September. In Manchester, we have Sunday, the 13th of September. And in Birmingham, we have Sunday, the 20th of September. They're all in city centre hotels, very easy to get to. Lunch, everything's provided. Now, as I say, the website will be coming out this Friday. And it's propertyinvestorquickstart.com, I think it is. However, because we haven't got it up yet, we did send an email out to everyone last week. You might have seen it. We have our BNV Quick Start Seminar website still up, and that the web address, you want to write this down, is bmvquickstart.com. That's BNV Quick Start, QUICKSTART.com. BNV, as in below market value, quickstart.com. On that website, it tells you a little bit about the old BNV Quick Start event we used to do. It's got all the dates listed. You can go to, you can click, and you can pay to come on that event. Anyone who buys a ticket to that event will automatically be upgraded to the new seminar, which is the Property Investor Quick Start, because that's the dates that are on the BNV Quick Start. They are actually going to be Property Investor Quick Start seminars. So you get an upgrade to the new event. But, and here's the point, while that website's still live, you get to book into that event at the old price. So at the moment, as in this week, you can go on to the BNV Quick Start seminar and you can come to that one-day event for £297 plus VAT instead of paying the new price of £497 VAT plus VAT. So just because you're listening into this seminar, I wanted to share that with you. You've got a great opportunity to save some money if you take action and go and book now. So I recommend go and have a look at that tonight or tomorrow. You know, people who didn't listen into the tele-seminar but might be listening at some point in the future, well, if that offer's still there, great. But as soon as the Property Investor Quick Start website is up, that offer's going to be coming down. All the traffic will be directed through to the new website, and that is going to be the price, £497. So you have been warned, great opportunity to come on, and there's a money-back guarantee. And at the moment, you can bring someone at a second place, you can bring them for half price, £150. So for less than £500, you and your partner can come to the new property investor boot camp. So I hope that answers your question, Roger, and thank you for asking that. It gives me a chance to put a nice little plug in. We've got a question from Greg saying, where's the best place to invest in the UK at the moment? Greg, it really depends on where you live and what your strategy is. I think looking where you live or where you work is a good idea, because obviously you will have a natural better understanding of what the better areas are. You'll probably be able to find out what the rents are, what the values are, and so you'll have a much better feeling for the area. Having said that, a lot of areas people feel it doesn't really stack up in their area, so they look further afield. And my point on this would be, you know what, unless you really are buying property because you love property and you want to manage property and that's what really turns you on and floats your boat, ultimately, you don't want to be managing your property. So with that in mind, your property could be anywhere in the country as long as you have a good letting agent to look after it. Now, I want to give you a quick tip here. If you're looking for letting agents, so let's say you live in London and you want to buy in Leeds or something, the best way to find a good letting agent is call up the letting agents. Go on the internet, do a search for the kind of properties you're looking for. The ones that come up advertising, they're the ones that understand internet marketing. They're the ones to speak to first. Call them up, and instead of saying, hello, I'm looking to buy a property and be a landlord, what's the rental market like there? Instead of doing that, pose as a tenant. You see, if you pose as a tenant, you'll find out what the true realistic market rent is, and also you'll get to experience how good that letting agent is at servicing you and selling you a rental property. Because if they're really hard to get hold of, if they say they'll send you details but don't send them to you, well, you don't really want to use that letting agent for your property, because that's going to be exactly how they're going to deal other potential tenants that might be interested in your property. So you've got to find someone who's really good, they're very responsive, very helpful, they're good at sales, and they get people into properties and get properties let out quickly. That's what you want to find, okay? It's very hard to test what they'll be like in terms of management, because until you have problems, you don't know really. But, you know, just bear in mind, you don't have to necessarily buy in an area you're looking in. You might want someone to source property for you. Let's say you are looking to buy in Leeds or Manchester, wherever it might be. Go to some of the network meetings in those cities. Meet other people there. Say, look, guys, I'm from out of town. I'm looking for someone who knows what they're doing here, who can find me properties, and I'll pay you finder's fees for them, you know. I'll pay you to look after them, manage them, or I'll pay you to speak to sellers, you know. If you're looking to do it in a different area, get people around you helping you. You don't have to do it all yourself. The reason a lot of people struggle and fail ultimately in property is because they're trying to do everything themselves and they're trying to reinvent the wheel. It's really not a good idea. So I hope that helps, Greg. You know, it really depends on what you're trying to achieve. It really depends on where you live. But, you know, there's great opportunities to look around and find people who can help you. Okay, we've got Debbie in Maidenhead. So probably going to be the last question. She says, I'm chomping at the bit to get started now and have decided to try Portsmouth, where I have potential renters with affordability of £650 a month. I'm not sure what value of property I need to look for. Also, I'm struggling with the initial stages of establishing contacts, where. Who do you recommend I go to buy leads in this area? Also, Reading and Staines. Okay, so I've kind of already answered that, really, in from the last question. If you're looking to buy in that area, what you want to do is go to all of the property networking events. If you find one in Portsmouth, we don't have one down there. I'm sure there is one down there. There's the Hampshire Property Meet. They meet in Basingstoke, not too far away. We have a Property Investors Network meeting in Bristol. Again, there's some people who kind of travel up to that. So go to the network meetings and ask around. Say, do you know anyone who's down in this area? Anyone who can find deals down there? So that's one good thing to do. There are also websites that will help you find properties in certain areas, and there'll be geographic areas you can say, I'm interested in leads in this area, and they get sent through to you first. Some are free, some you pay for. But these are ways of finding deals in those areas. The other thing that I would recommend is it's just completely gone from my head. I'm sure it will come back in a moment. What was I going to suggest? You're saying you don't know where to start and what it works. So if you let me help you with the rental, okay? So everyone might want to get, I'm going to get a bit technical here, so you might want to get a pen and paper, but it's very important you understand the maths, because you want to be able to work out very quickly does property in this area stack up? So I'm going to give you some really useful rules of thumb. Okay. Now, based on 6%, as we already talked about earlier today, you can get fixed rates at 6%. If you get a variable rate, it's going to be less. But 6% works really well for the easy maths. And if you work it on 6 and it stacks up, it's going to stack up, basically. So at 6% interest rate, every £20,000 you borrow will cost you £100 a month in rent. So let me say that again. At 6% interest rate, every £20,000 you borrow will cost you £100 in interest. So, for example, if your mortgage is £80,000, that's going to cost you £400 a month in interest. Here's how you work that out. You take the amount you're borrowing, the £80,000, divide it by £20,000. In this case, £80,000 divided by £20,000 is 4. Take the 4, multiply by 100 to give you £400. So, pretty simple to work out what the interest is going to cost you. Then what you do, you need to, as you know, when you get a mortgage, it's not necessarily based on your income for a buy-to-let property, it's all based on the rental income. So the lenders want to make sure that the rent is going to be enough to pay the interest and all the various other costs like management fees, service charges, insurance, etc. So most lenders use a factor, we call a rent multiplier, and for most lenders it's 1.25. So what that means is, if your interest is £400 per month, they take that, multiply it by 1.25, and that will give you the amount of interest required to give sufficient rental cover. So if your interest is £400, multiply by 1.25, that says your rent would need to be £500. If your rent is £500, it's pretty much going to cash flow neutral, it's going to break even. If your rent is £550, well, you're going to get some positive cash flow on it. This is just a rule of thumb, but on average. So here's what you do, Debbie. If your rent is £650, you know that's what you can achieve. You work backwards. So instead of multiplying 1.25, you divide it by 1.25. So if you've got your rental figure, you write this down, rent divided by 1.25. So 650 divided by 1.25, I'm just doing it on my calculator here, is 520. Okay? So that means if rent of 650 would be enough to support a mortgage, a monthly interest payment of 520. Now what we want to do is work out what kind of mortgage, what kind of borrowing would you be able to get with that. So you take the 520, which is the interest each month, multiply it by 12. Okay, so start my calculator again here. So 520 times 12 equals 6,240. So 6,240 is the amount of interest each month that you would that the rent would be able to cover and that the lender would accept. So now we want to say, okay, if that's the interest, what's the capital we could borrow that would cost that amount of interest? So you divide it by the interest rate. In this case, we're using 6%. So you take the annual interest, 6,240, divide it by 0.06, okay, and that gives you a mortgage amount of 104,000. So what that means is you need to look for properties where the mortgage is going to be 104,000. That means the annual interest will be 6,240. The monthly interest will be 520, which means you need rental cover of 650. So working from the rent, you can work backwards to work out the value of the property. Now, as you know, at the moment, we get 75% loan to value mortgages. So if the mortgage is 104,000, what you do is you divide that by 0.75, because that's 75%. That gives you a figure of £138,660. So in other words, you can go up to a value of about £138,000, okay, based on a 75% mortgage, that will stack up at a rent of £650. So what I suggest you do, you go into someone like Rightmove, you put in one of the postcode in Portsmouth, you do a search for 30 miles or something, you put in maximum value 138,000, you do a search and see what comes up, and you'll get clusters of properties in certain areas. So they might recognize little villages or suburbs or parts of the town where that kind of property does stack up. Then what you do is, okay, so I know I can buy property at that kind of value, and just check the rental income. Remember, we talked about how you do that. You call up a letting agent, understand what the true market value is, check the rental income is enough. If that works, it means property stacks up in that area. Then what you need to do is you then start finding the motivated sellers who, although the house is worth 138, they'll sell it for less than that. If you can get it for 104 or less, that means it's going to be a very low money or no money down deal for you. If you can't get that much of a discount, you might need to put some money in, but if you get a good cash flow from the property, you know, it might be worth putting that cash in. So that's, and I've done that pretty quickly. Some of you, that made perfect sense. Some of you were lost at the very beginning, because I know some people struggle with maths, but it is important you get to understand that. So in your head, or certainly on a calculator, you can work out if a deal stacks up. What I'd actually suggest is you get a spreadsheet, and again, if you're not good at this, get someone to help you, so that all you have to do is type the numbers into your spreadsheet, and out pops the answer at the bottom, how much mortgage you can get, what the interest is going to be, and that's probably a very wise thing to do if you're looking to invest in property. It's amazing how many people I meet and say, oh, I want to buy property, but I don't understand the numbers. You've got to get to know the numbers, especially when you're investing. It's not about, oh, this is a nice house, I'm going to buy it because I like it. It's all about the numbers. It is a numbers game. You've got to do your research. You've got to know what you're doing. You've got to get to know the area in which you're buying property. You've got to be an expert. You've got to be more knowledgeable than your estate agent. That comes with time and practice. Now, if you're not sourcing, if someone's sourcing for you, they need to have that knowledge. But you always need to be able to check the deals. You know, you've got to make sure the deals work. They've got to be right for you. They've got to be right for everyone. Okay, so very, very important that everything works for you. So that's pretty much all we've got time for today, guys. You know, we've got a few questions we didn't get around to. I really do hope you got fantastic value from that. I'm going to be putting this up on our website, so we'll give you access to it again if you want to download it and listen to it again. Next one, we're going to do another one next month. We haven't quite got the date in the diary yet, but that'll be up on the Ask Simon website tomorrow, and obviously we'll let you know. It'll probably be, a similar kind of time of the month. It's probably the first Tuesday of the month, whatever day that might be. I think it's probably the 6th maybe, but I'm not sure. We'll check and you'll see on our website. So I hope it's been useful for you. If you are interested in learning more, I recommend you come to some of the PIN monthly network meetings. We have them at 8 cities around the country. We have them in Cardiff, in Bristol. We have it in Birmingham, in Manchester, in Leicester. We have them in London, Leeds and Cambridge. 8 meetings around the country. If you go to www.propertyinvestorsnetwork.co.uk, click on monthly meetings at the top, and that will take you straight through to the list of all the meetings, where they are. Click on the content. I'm speaking at a few of them this month, so great. Come and say hello if you've enjoyed this. That's brilliant. The other thing is, if you're not doing deals right now, if you're not sure what to do, or you don't know how to finance them, or you just don't know how to find sellers or how to negotiate with them, I would strongly recommend you come on our one-day Property Investor Quick Start Seminar. That's the new event. We're taking the best bits from the B&B Quick Start Seminar. We're putting some more information about options in. We're putting some more information about trading property in. And it really is a great day we have planned for you. Now, the investment to come on that is going to be £497 plus VAT. However, if you book very quickly, and if you book through the bmvquickstart.com website, you can still get on for the old price, which is £297 plus VAT, an extra £150 plus VAT if you want to bring your partner. Lunch, refreshments, everything's included. You get a workbook, you get an audio recording of the event, and there's a money-back guarantee if you don't think it's absolutely fantastic. I really encourage you to do that. Take action. You've got to get in now before the market really picks up, because you don't want to be kicking yourself when you realize a couple of years down the line you might have got one, maybe two properties when you could have bought a lot of property because you didn't invest in yourself. Investing in yourself, investing in your own education is the very best thing you can do. I encourage you to go right now, or certainly first thing tomorrow morning, check out the B&B Quick Start, book your place in. We've got 4 events over September. We don't have any dates for October yet. We might do one or two. They'll definitely be back in November and maybe one in December. But yeah, book yourself in. Get onto the program. Come and see us at the PIN meetings. My name is Simon Zucci. I hope this has been really valuable for you. I encourage you to take at least one thing from today and take it and put it into practice and apply it, which means you will have a good use of your time. So thank you very much and good night.